Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is the Reverend Al Zadig. He is rector of St. Michael's Church, one of the most beautiful and historic churches in the United States of America. I had the privilege of worshiping there on Easter Sunday when I was 16 years old. And in the 1800s, my grandmother was the weekly soloist, employed as the weekly soloist in that church. Late 1800s, I might say. But we are very honored to have the Reverend Alfred Zadig. He goes by Al, and he is rector of that historic church, and of course in recent days has been called on to minister in a way that none of us would have asked for, none of us would wish for, and yet God has used him to lead his flock in standing with other believers in that city that was touched by such horrible tragedy just a short time ago. Reverend Zadig, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim. It's a real pleasure to be on with you here today.
Now, you came to St. Michael's back in 2007.
Yes.
And, pardon? I was going to say, and at that time, you came into a place that had enormous history, but I think it's safe to say the history of that place has now entered a new chapter.
Jim, it really has, and I'm originally from Boston, and so coming down here deeply into the Southern culture of South Carolina, but even more into Charleston, it is a unique heritage, and race relations here in the city are delicate, simply because of the previous blood spilled in the city over slavery, slave markets, slave ports. It is real. It has been dealt with, I think, in every generation, but it's still a very significant force in the city to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Now, coming from Boston, obviously, a lot of people think that there are no race relation issues in the North. My brother had an apartment in Charlestown, so I know that you know that race relations are not all that good in Boston historically.
Nope. That's right.
This is a problem with the human heart, isn't it?
Jim, I mean, absolutely. And every generation seems to have its own demons or its own Hitler or its own tragedies to deal with. And it is an absolute matter of the heart. And yet, right now, we're seeing Christ use this in a powerful way. And speaking of the heart, just a couple of days ago, about 400 people went down into the local park and formed a human heart to symbolize that all of what you're dealing with right now comes out of the human heart.
Amen.
And so it was, again, one more powerful symbol of how this quiet revival is spreading a little bit.
Praise God.
Into the soul of the city.
Praise God. Well, I think it's marvelous. The reports that we've been hearing and that have been shared not only across this country but around the world, God is doing something beautiful there as his people look to him in the face of this tragedy. Share with us a little bit about, where were you when you heard the news about what had happened nearby, and how did that impact you, and how has your church responded?
Well, it's so real because we had our, my wife Elizabeth and I are in a life group, a small group ministry, and so our life group was actually, normally we meet in our house for Bible study on a Wednesday, but we were actually kind of celebrating having dinner out almost across the street from Mother Emanuel Church when all this happened.
Yes.
And it was actually a rooftop restaurant, and all of a sudden we heard police cars coming down the street at 90 miles an hour, and had no idea what it was. And obviously when we discovered what had happened, I raced back to my house, which is about six blocks away, and, took my Bible down, went back down to Calhoun Street, which is where Mother Emanuel is, and participated, pretty much immediately in the prayer vigils that were going on.
Yes.
Because at that point, we didn't know if there a riot would break out, and the last thing I wanted was for there to be something happening down there and not being a part of helping to redeem it, even at its earliest moments of this unfolding tragedy. And so we were down there until about 2 in the morning, and just trying to live into the comprehension of this horrible reality.
Yeah.
And the mayor was also there throughout much of that night, and so together with a larger group of clergy, we were just trying to cover that area in prayer. And of course, at that time, the shooter was not had not been apprehended, and so there was great fear also. The next day, we had a mandatory staff meeting here at St. Michael's, and brought in several members of our board to pray and to look at how we might respond. And then, of course, we all participated in the prayer service at the AME church not far from Mother Emanuel. And so really from the first moment that shots were fired, we've been there on the scene. And really not only trying to navigate personally through this, but as a leader, how do I take a congregation cathartically through such a situation like this? And so the first sermon on Sunday after this event, the words from Daniel 9 just hit me like a ton of bricks, where Daniel is praying on behalf of Judah. They'd been exiled, the 68 years before. And Daniel cries out to God, three words that have made a huge impact in my life in this regard. And he simply prayed, God, would you listen to us? Would you forgive us? And would you help us to act? And those have been the three words that have been my teacher through this, and asking our congregation, our staff and board, to say, what are you hearing in this? How do we need to repent? And where is the Lord calling us to act?
Praise God. Well, I'm so thankful you have outlined for us not only three vital questions to ask, but also I note that those questions, as you say, came straight out of Scripture. That was what God spoke to you from His Word. That night, when you learned what had happened, before you went there to meet and to pray, you went home and grabbed your Bible. I want our folks to note that. Now, you know your Bible. You're a man who preaches from the Scriptures, and yet you grabbed hold of your Bible because you know this is God's Word, and you know it is vital that God's people lay hold of God's Word, not magically holding a book, but believing what God says. And how much has God's Word ministered to you in these days since then? You've met with others for prayer, etc., but obviously you've been going to the Scriptures, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, on Thursday, when I realized that my Father's Day sermon needed to be completely torn up and thrown out, as a preacher, as you know, Jim, you sit down with an open book and like a canvas, an empty page, and say, Lord, fill it.
Amen.
There's just so much to say, and knowing I can't keep people all day, what is it, Lord? What are the fine? What needs to be communicated? And so when Daniel, when I began to read Daniel that morning, it absolutely, the Lord has said, led me to that passage, to the anchor of what needed to be given to our people. And so, coming to church on Sunday morning, again, being Father's Day and seeing this outpouring of the community, there was no doubt that, you know, if I had tried to write something on my own without that, without the word, I would have been just one more, you know, political speech or something. But this is so much deeper. And and you know, when you prepare a sermon and you know that, God, this is definitely what God is calling me to say, there's relief in that, and there's peace in that.
Amen.
And I can sleep at night knowing that it's not my word, but it's what God has desired for that day. And so, and we've used the three words in everything we've done. So this past week, we had a staff extended think tank on listening, repenting, acting. I led our board through that exercise the following Wednesday night. And then this past Sunday, we gathered the whole congregation and asked them what they were listening, what they were hearing, where did they need to repent and forgive, where do they think, it, as individuals and as a community of faith, you know, where do we need to act? It was an amazing thing. On the Sunday, on Father's Day, we had arranged for a bus to come down and pick up anybody in the congregation after our morning, after our 10:30 service, to bring us down to the Mother Emmanuel, where we would be joined by First Baptist Church here in Charleston and another Anglican church. And I'll never forget it, Jim. I was coming out of church. We're processing out of the church, you know, singing A Mighty Fortress, you know, as loud as we could. And I get out there, and I see this big bus parked in front of the church, and it was already full. And people from our 8 o'clock and 9:30 services had already boarded it, and it was, and this is a big charter bus, totally packed. And
praise
so all of us were out there with no, you know, that bus went down to the, you know, dropped people off, came back, did several trips picking up our people, and the response was overwhelming. We had a cross down there that we brought with us where we could tap, you know, hang our notes of sympathy in our cards. So there was something cathartic in that, that, you know, in terms of our listening out of, and leading us to repentance, led us to say, we need to be down there. We need to be down at the site of these martyrs. And I'll never forget it. But even before that 10:30 service, we had been asked by the mayor to ring our tower bells, these historic bells that this church has had since 1764. And there are 12 other or so, 12 other bell towers in the city, and we all rang at the same time. And not only did the tower bells ring, but then we had people bring their own little bells. So underneath the bells and in our portico under our bell tower, we had a couple hundred people just ringing bells. And and that was amazing, because that was the signifying moment I felt that God was saying, I'm going to redeem this.
Praise God.
I'm going to redeem it. This is a mess, and out of that mess is going to come a message to the people of Charleston and to the nation that that death is not the end. And it was just an amazing moment. I mean, it was deafening. It was a deafening sound. And then we had baptisms, you know, and it's just like this crazy experience of life out of death in every way. I mean, it was stunning. I mean, resurrection, total redemption, resurrection, and rescue.
Praise God. Folks, we're talking with the Reverend Al Zadig. He is the rector at the historic St. Michael's Church in Charleston, South Carolina. We'll be back in just a moment.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, four of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand.
Folks, we're continuing our conversation with Al Zadig, the rector at St. Michael's Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where on Father's Day, the bells of that historic church, which are older than this country, rang out in solidarity with other churches, other believers there in the community, and especially in solidarity with the folks at Mother Emmanuel. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." In Jesus' high priestly prayer, praying that we, His people, would be one, He says that the Father loves us just as the Father loves Jesus. And that has to transform how we view each other, doesn't it?
Amen.
When you pastor that church, and I want to remind all our listeners, the word pastor means shepherd. When you shepherd that flock, when you look after God's people there, you're serving Him. But this call that you've issued, a call to listen, a lot of people only talk to God. They don't talk with God. And we need to listen. We need to go to the Word and study and see what God says and believe Him. And we need to be quiet before the Lord in prayer and listen. And you've told your people, you've called your people to do that. This is not just a matter of believing certain propositional truths. This is a matter of having a dynamic relationship with the Holy God. And as you've called them to listen, there's an expectation, as you said, that out of that will be a call to repentance. Because if you look at the letters to the churches in Revelation, five of those churches are told, repent. And it's not because they weren't saved. It's because part of our salvation is that process of change that involves ongoing repentance on the part of God's people. And I'm so grateful that you have modeled that and called your people to that. But then if we really repent, it has to result in action. Bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. And so when God shows us what needs to change, we can't just agree with Him in confession. We have to truly repent in a way that results in action. So you've been walking this out, and your people have been walking this out in the days since this tragedy. Isn't it amazing how God consistently takes what the enemy meant for evil and turns it for His good, our good, His glory?
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Amen. It is. I think that what we're seeing in Charleston, in response to what you said, Jim, is it's easy to think that people in Charleston are just kind because they live in the South and they love grits and, you know, move slowly because of the heat, and that's, you know, they're just nice because of that. But what we're seeing is much more than Southern hospitality. What we're seeing, I think, is something supernatural.
Amen.
That after all these years of being taught about faith in this city, I think that people are actually now beginning, in a way they've never done before, living out the faith they've been taught. And again, coming from Boston, where so many of our churches are dark and empty, you know, churches here are still, you know, fairly full. And there's, but there is a cultural dimension to the faith here, which doesn't always help.
Yes.
But I think that what we're seeing, I pray what we're seeing is that people who have been taught all these years are now saying, I've got to forgive because Jesus has forgiven me.
Amen.
I've got to respond differently because of how Jesus has responded to me. So I want everybody to know that what's happening here isn't natural. It is absolutely supernatural.
Amen. And the blood of the martyrs is still, even in this country, the seat of the church. God brings, through the way of the cross, he brings life. There is no way that we could be reconciled to God without the cross of Jesus Christ. And God is now bringing reconciliation. I'm not making him the author of evil, but God uses every attack of the enemy in order to bring about good, in order to bring about blessing. And the enemy finds himself, as always, on the losing end of history. In the end, we know that Jesus Christ has won the victory. And those who lost their lives, who were, as you described them, martyred for the faith, they were there because of their faith, they were there because of their devotion to Jesus, and they lost their lives, and yet they didn't lose. You know, those around them grieve their homegoing, but they are now more alive than ever in the presence of the Lord. And God reminds us through what has happened to them that all of us one day are going to stand before him, one way or the other. And we need to be prepared for that. If we are not ready to die, then we're not really ready to live.
Well, somebody came out of church the other day and said, you know, she said, I know some agnostics, and I've since this tragedy and what they've witnessed in Charleston, I've asked my agnostic friends, if you still don't believe in Jesus, do you at least believe in his power? An interesting way to look at it. I've not thought about it that way before, but... But I mean, if you're an agnostic and you're living in Charleston, you know, secular humanist or a Unitarian or a whatever, you have to admit, okay, something that I cannot explain is happening in this city.
Amen. Amen.
And God willing, my prayer is that this begins revival in this city. In fact, tonight, you know, there's an all-pastors gathering in the sanctuary of Mother Emmanuel for every denomination. And
praise God.
You know, the things, little things are happening on a larger scale now than I can ever remember in this city. So,
praise God. You know, my brother is a pastor of another denomination other than my own or yours. We're a very ecumenical group here. And my brother was preaching through 1 John, the beginning of this month, 1 John chapter 3. When it says in the NIV, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And he was pointing out to his flock that the actual literal Greek there, when it's translated, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, really is more like the old folk song, what wondrous love is this? And in the literal, in the most literal rendering of that Greek phrase, it's, what country is this love from? From what country comes this love? Because the idea is, this is an alien thing. This is not the way we do things around here. This is not what we are naturally like. And that's what you're describing. This is not Southern hospitality. Yeah. This is not just the way it is in the South. There is too much history that testifies to the contrary. The fact is, this is evidence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ changing lives and manifesting his character, his grace, that as he hung on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That kind of love is not a local thing in any part of this country. It is a supernatural thing wherever we see it. And thank God we've been seeing it in Charleston. And I am grateful for those of you who've been faithfully ministering there for years. And I want you to know that you have been in the prayers of many of us all around this country as we have been lifting you up. And in fact, many of us praying for your church and other churches there in Charleston before this happened, because I know that you and others in the Anglican Communion there have stood true for the Word of God, for the Lordship of Jesus Christ, for biblical authority. And you've done so in the face of opposition from folks within a denomination that you'd been a part of for a long time. It's been a controversial thing. There's been struggle in the courts. It's been an unhappy chapter with, I'm pleased to report, and my understanding is some encouraging outcomes in the court, the Supreme Court ruling in your favor. But I want folks to understand, when this sort of love appears, it's from God. That's where this love comes from. Love is of God, real love, this kind of love. This agape is from God, and that's the only place, folks, that you're going to find it. You can't go and work this up by sitting in a corner somewhere trying to think happy thoughts. Right. You need to surrender your life to Jesus, who loves you more than you can imagine. He gave his life so that you could have real life, and if you will open yourself to him and ask him to change you, to rescue you, to forgive you, if you'll listen and repent, you will live a transformed life. Al, I want to thank you so much for coming on the broadcast, but I want to thank you more for being faithful to the Lord, for serving him in a beautiful place, to be sure. I know that of all the places, of all the places on earth, I love Charleston. It is beautiful. But you've been faithful there.
Jim, we just need you. We need you to come back and visit. I know it's been a lot of years, but make your way back into the Holy City.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. I'll try and come down.
Right.
Thank you so much, Al, and God bless you. Know that you will remain in our prayers, as will the folks at Mother Emmanuel and the other churches there in town, coming together in order to bring honor to Jesus and healing to the lives in that community.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.